Hello, Roy here. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to The Roy Green Show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
As the destruction of Hurricane Ian is totaled in Florida and South Carolina, we're following up a week later after the destruction caused by Fiona in Atlantic Canada. And the first person we spoke to in Atlantic Canada is my guest now, Nadine Osmond, town clerk at Port-au-Basque in Newfoundland. And Port-au-Basque was hit tremendously hard by Fiona. Thank you so much, Nadine, for coming back on the air. Do you have a sense now, a better sense of the damage that Fiona did to your community?
Oh my goodness, yes. The first day that I was talking to you, you know, it was not long after Fiona had struck. So, you know, we initially thought maybe 20 to 30 homes, but after the weather calmed down and everybody got out and started doing all the assessments, we're in the 100 range now, or maybe a little over 100.
Oh my.
And you know, there's different categories because some houses were swept out to sea. Some houses were partially destroyed, so they're you know, can't be rebuilt. You know, they would have to be demolished. And then we have another category of homes that have a number of things wrong with them. You know, it could be water and sewer issues, could be electrical issues, could be that the foundation shifted, or you know, roofs have, you know, partially gone off, that sort of thing. So there's a few different categories of the damages, but you know, there was you know, a number of them that are, you know, are completely gone.
Yeah, 100 homes, and then you talk about the additional homes with the varying damage done. When you said homes swept out to sea, the first thing I thought was, this community of yours has grown up, has flourished, and been nurtured by the sea.
Yes.
And here comes this storm.
Yes.
Has there ever been a storm impact like this one on Port-au-Basque?
Back in the 70s, there was, you know, I was only young then, so I don't remember that one, but I've seen pictures where there were probably like a few what we call stages or wharfs with, you know, like it's a stage that goes out to sea, and then there's that connects with a person's boat, mm-hmm. and then there would be sheds down there. So, like, a few of those were lost, and I think maybe one or two houses. And, you know, I don't know if that was maybe 1974 or something like that, mm-hmm. but nothing like this has ever happened to us before.
No, you know, when I just spoke with Councillor Gordon MacDonald of the Cape Breton Regional Municipality, they're still under a state of emergency. They just reinstituted
right.
yesterday. And he said, the relationship, if I understood him correctly, and yeah. I'm paraphrasing here, the relationship with the ocean, with the sea, has changed now because of this.
Oh, my goodness, yes, yes. I mean, a lot of people, you know, when the storm settled down and the following day was a nice day and people could get out and, you know, review and actually absorb what had happened, I mean, a lot of the people who, you know, probably one time would have said, you know, I always want to live near the sea. They don't want to hear talk of that. You know, they can't, you know, they don't want to rebuild next to the sea at all.
Yeah. You talked to us last Sunday about one particular wave that struck.
Yes.
And if I recall correctly, you said it was 40 to 50 feet high.
Yeah, it would have had to have been at least that high.
And it moved homes. It took down a two-story apartment building.
Yes.
I'm still trying to assimilate that, trying to think of what that would have been like. That must have been just so. You must have felt so powerless with this kind of oceanic cataclysm descending on you. I can't even find the words, Nadine.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. And, you know, like the night before, Friday night, we had called around to as many residents as we could that lived on our shoreline to get them to move. And one of them was that two-story apartment building. It had 8 units into it. And we called the owner and, you know, to advise him that his residents should think about getting out. And I think the majority of them did because, you know, he said a bit of panic in them. But, you know, now we're so glad. I mean, we had no idea that this would impact us so much because we're used to high winds and we're used to the seas being high, but nothing is in this category has ever happened to us before. So, you know, when a wave comes in like that, and I mean, that harbor in that area is a little bit protected by some rock structures that are out a bit further. You know, and take that two-story, eight-unit apartment building and just push it in.
Yeah.
In the middle of the street and up against some other houses. I mean, it doesn't seem possible.
No, it doesn't. That's an invasion by the sea.
Yeah.
What do you need? Can people help if our listeners across the country, and we have many people from Newfoundland who've traveled elsewhere in Canada, yeah, but it will always be Newfoundlanders. If people want to help, what can they do?
Well, we've received a lot of items. Like we do have a lot of clothes, and, you know, personal hygiene items and toys and those kind of things. We have a lot of that, and we have it in a few different buildings, because we've outgrown, or we've had so much that we've had to get other buildings other than just one place.
Okay.
But I mean, right now, I guess financially would be the best.
Okay.
Because people have various needs, other than clothing, and, you know, there's medication, there's probably,
sure,
some travel involved. Like, you know, some of these people have young children. There could be families with children with autistic needs, or, you know, like, so there's a variety of items that if somebody donated financially, then all those miscellaneous needs could be addressed. Right?
So where could we donate financially? How could we do that?
Okay, so there's a few different ways. I mean, you can donate to Red Cross. I believe the Red Cross has a page that's Hurricane Fiona. Now, we also have a direct deposit email address set up with our one of our local credit unions, and that is the Fiona Disaster Relief. So, FIONADISASTERRELIEF at AECU.ca.
Okay, so let me repeat that. It's Fiona Disaster Relief, all one word,
yeah,
at AECU.ca.
Yes. So that money is going to go into our local credit union, and at some point very soon, we'll set up a committee, and that'll be like the people, a couple of people from Portobasque, and a couple of representatives from the other towns nearby.
Mm-hmm.
Because Burnt Islands is a small town close by. They were heavily affected. And then there was Allamort and Rose Blanche, a few structures down there. So, and we'll get the Salvation Army involved with us as well to help,
okay,
distribute the money.
Okay. How long is it going to take for you to get the community back into a service?
Oh my God, it's
going
to take months.
If you want to hear more, subscribe to The Roy Green Show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you find your favorites. And if you like what you hear, leave us a review and tell a friend. I'm Roy Green. Have a great weekend.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.